Welcome back to the God School. We are studying the epistle of Paul, the apostle, sent one of God to the Galatians. We've been at this for a long time now, and we have to understand this was a letter to a church that Paul had founded. A letter. I think it's appropriate to do a quick review, set context for the rest of the study. Paul opens his letter saying, Paul, an apostle, sent one, not of man, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him, that is Jesus, from the dead. It goes on, Paul proclaiming of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. A controversy has risen up. There are those that are suggesting in this congregation at Galatia that Paul's really not an apostle, that he's really not preaching the gospel. And Paul, his response is, he marvels that these folks whom he birthed, whom he called his children, who he calls himself their father, that they're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which he says is not another gospel. Paul is, I'm going to use a real religious word here, Paul's pissed. Because he says that it's not another gospel. And anybody who preaches any other gospel than that which Paul preached, Paul says, let him be God damned. He calls them perverts. He says of the background of his teaching, he didn't go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before him, but went into Arabia. He went into the Arabian desert, and for 3 years, this is to be understood, was taught by Jesus personally. You want to understand Paul's breadth and depth and knowledge of the Old Testament that the New Testament might be revealed through it. He's taught the Word by Jesus himself. He says after 14 years of his preaching, he goes to Jerusalem. He meets with the quote-unquote powers to be. We've gone over this. First Church Council, Acts 15, That's Luke's account. Paul's account he gives here in the second chapter, or what we call the second chapter. He says that, you know, while he's there sharing that which he was taught by Jesus Christ himself, they brought in false brethren, unaware to Paul and his convert Titus, to spy out the liberty that Titus had in Christ because he wasn't circumcised. There was still that crowd after they had agreed that the Gentiles didn't have to be circumcised. There were still those that said, I want to see proof. They sneak into the John. Is it graphic? You bet it is. Paul's trying to be graphic. He's trying to put meat on this message. And he says to those perverts, to whom we gave place by subjection, did we subject ourselves, oh, for the peace in the fellowship? Did we give subjection? Did we give place by subjection? No. Not for an hour. Why? Because the truth of the gospel was at stake. And Paul, that the truth of the gospel might continue, did not cower, did not say, oh, okay, we'll go along. No, the gospel was at stake. He says, but those who seem to be somewhat, those who were apostles before him, he says, those who seem to be somewhat, those who had opinions, they added nothing to me. He tells us of another incident. When he's with Peter in Antioch, and Peter and Paul and the other disciples are sharing meals with the Gentiles, not asking any questions, eating the chicken, not asking whether it was choked or not, where it was purchased. Just enjoying the fellowship in the grace of God. And all of a sudden, it says that some came from James. That's Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, Peter, even Barnabas, who had traveled for years with Paul, they dissimulated. They said, And Paul gets to the heart of the matter, and he says he had to withstand Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. And he gives the gospel. He says, knowing that a man is not righteousified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have faithed in Jesus Christ, that we might be righteousified by the faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And he goes on to say, this is important. He says, by way of example, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, and properly translated, who is loving me and gave himself for me. Oh, that we all might read and understand every day this good news, this word of God, this that we might be influenced by this God spell. Hear the truth and let it be applied to each and every one of God's chosen children. Who I live by the faith of the Son of God, who is loving me and gave himself for me. He goes on and calls him foolish. Some translations use the word stupid. To his church, oh, is that loving the brethren? Oh, folks, if you saw someone walking backwards, not seeing that which they're walking towards, which is a cliff, that if they went over, they would certainly die. And you needed to get their attention. And you said, hey, stupid! Stop walking that way! Does that sound loving? Well, maybe not to some. But if life is at stake, you'll do whatever you need to get one's attention. These are Christians, Paul says. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, that is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that is the Spirit of God, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. He's pumped up. He says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. He tells us he repeats again in the third chapter that no man is righteousified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, because here's the gospel: the righteous shall live. Don't want him walking over that cliff. Don't want her walking over that cliff. Shall live by faith. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse over us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He tells us that the promise was made 430 years before the law. He tells us the law is a latecomer, and he tells us it's an early lever. It's gone. It was nailed, as the Colossian letter says. The handwriting of ordinances which were against us were nailed to the tree. He tells us the purpose of the law. It was a schoolmaster to lead us to the understanding we do not measure up. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We didn't measure up to that righteousness of God, which God said, if one did personally, perfectly, and perpetually, they would live. None could. And it taught us our need of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself says in Matthew 6, your Father knows what you have need of. He. Well, we're going to get to that in just a moment. He says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be righteousified by faith. He says, because for ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And if ye be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I don't know how many times from this venue we have said given that short understanding of what faith is. Faith is acting on the promise of God. As though that promise, that word, is more substantial than anything we might see, feel, or encounter. Now, let's go to this fourth chapter, called fourth chapter of Galatians. He says, "Now I say, the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father." He's talking about that time from Moses till Jesus. "Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world." It's the law, folks. It's the law. "But when the fullness of time was come," key verse, "God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." That story of the kinsman redeemer that God inserts, that story found in the book of Ruth, that promise of God all the way, first promise of God all the way back in Genesis 3, "The seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent." Born of a woman, made under the law. Jesus said, "I come not to destroy the law, I come to fulfill the law." That was the price, the perfect life. His perfect life that was given for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world by the will of God. To redeem, that is, pay the price, them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I learned some time ago, this word Abba, you know, many think it's a Hebrew word. No, it's an Aramaic word. Ab is the Hebrew word for father. Abba, it's like daddy. Think on that. Wherefore, when you say, Daddy, this is the by God, the relationship is established through his Spirit. And because of that, you're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, than an heir of God through Christ, the King James says. I was looking at one commentary which just leaves it this way. And if a son, then an heir through God, one ancient version has. But now, Paul goes on to say, but now, after ye have known God, Daddy, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again? He's going back to that opening of chapter 3. How turn ye again to weak and beggarly elements, the law again, whereunto ye desire to be in bondage? God is doing this. Weak and beggarly elements will worship. I know what you did it for me, God, but let me prove to you that I heard what you did, and now I'm straightening myself out, and look, ye observe days and months and times and years. This last week, many churches observe that which is called Ash Wednesday. Doesn't have a goddamn thing to do with Christianity. I live close to a large Catholic church and had to drive back and forth in front of that church about 3 times that day. And the parking lot, I guarantee you, it's got to hold 500-600 cars. The parking lot was full all day. Where they go and submit to, you know, getting blessed with the ashes from whatever. I don't want to go into all that. There's no such thing as Lent in Christianity. You can't give anything up for God except your life to God. Am I pointing a finger only at the Catholics? I am not. You, I don't care what denomination you are. You know, this denomination dresses a certain way. That denomination forsakes this, forsakes that. That denomination demands tithes. Tithe, the tithe, like the promise, was before the law, folks. It's not law. It is life. That same life of the Spirit to those of us who are children of God. Not by works. Paul gets personal with him in the next several verses. Tells of an experience that as he presents the gospel, they received him as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. In the 40th verse of the 10th chapter of Matthew, it says, Jesus speaking to his disciples, Jesus speaking words that have meaning only to the children, to the chosen of God. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him, that is God our Father, that sent me. He says, if that was such a special event that you spoke of, he says, I bear your record, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. All right. Whoa. Paul was suffering from something, and the people were so joyous to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that they were redeemed and became the sons and daughters of God. They cared nothing again for their life at that moment. But then, those others came saying, you know, you better think about this. Was Paul really sent of God? You know, look, we got this tradition. It's 1,500 years old. It's the law. You know, if you're really God's children, you're going to keep it. He speaks. He stops and he says, am I therefore, brethren, your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. They want to become your father. Sorry, Paul says, many teachers, one father. And he goes on to tell a story. For it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Paul says, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, testaments, which no man disannulleth. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, answereth to James, the head of the church, which is at Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. God said unto Abraham that his descendants would be as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea. And he had no children. He figured God said it. Well, I must go about getting it done. And he and Sarah had a committee meeting. And they decided to take this slave girl, Hagar, and start the family that way. Because, you know, Sarah was old and barren. And Abraham was old, but I guess, you know, got pretty excited about going in the tent with this young woman. And obviously he was able to perform there. But God said no through Sarah. And, you know, we need to go back. Stay with me for a minute. Let's just read out of Romans. Romans, Galatians, Hebrews. They're all related. Paul gives a more detailed story. The 17th verse of the 4th chapter, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God. Abraham faith, even God, who, this is God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, through apistis. Didn't say he didn't stagger. It said he staggered not through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able to perform. And the second son was born. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. That's where the law came down, the Ten Commandments, and all the other writings of Moses. That was the latecomer. That came after the promise. And answereth to Jerusalem. That law, the King James offers an alternative. It says, that which is in the same rank as, the same rank with Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. for it is written, rejoice. Barren, that bearest not, break forth and cry. Thou that travailest not, for the desolate has many more children than she which has an husband. That's those who were married to the law. Read chapter 7 of Romans. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. Not of works, not of performance, of promise of God. That means our very salvation is dependent upon God's faithfulness to his word of promise. And I think that's what that which generated the name of this website, The God School, for our purpose is always to show God is faithful. He does what he says. We can count on him. We can lean on him. We can trust him in spite of circumstance. I got to tell you, since we've begun this series, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling the facts. I've had a lot of trouble. Health problems. Problems here, problems there. Family problems. The devil's on attack. He hates this message. Message from Galatians is rarely preached in any church today. Count it all joy that you're hearing the truth. And the wickedness and the perversion brought about by another gospel is being stripped away. Being shown what it is. Paul calls it perversion. If you rely on anything other than God and his word, and his son, whom he sent, if you are relying on your good works, so look at me, I don't do this, I don't do that, I do this and I do that. You're being perverted. Now, we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of the promise, but as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. Oh, show me your works. Straight from Jerusalem, James, he refuted Paul in his day. Paul refuted James. Even as we do today. Oh, if you were really a Christian, you would do this and you would do that. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We'll close with this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Folks, this word stand fast, it's a military term. We gotta stay on guard. We gotta watch and make sure we don't find ourselves looking at ourselves and our performance, but keep our eye on God and hear His word. For by it faith comes, and by it we are made heirs, even heirs with Jesus Christ. And that's the God School for today.